Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
There are some statements that are made in the Bible that are unusual and striking in their very words. I want to read one tonight and want you to think about it. And that'll be the basis of our thoughts tonight. In the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we have some things that are said by the prophet relative to the northern kingdom and to the southern kingdom. Israel had divided 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, 2 in the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. Very often, the northern kingdom is characterized by the term Ephraim because of the strength and the aggressiveness of Ephraim and of the attitude that Ephraim had. And so in this chapter, there is a reference to both of them. Verse 1 begins with a woe. Woe to the crown of the pride of the drunkards of Ephraim. But you drop down to verse 7, and it says, but they also have erred. And that's a reference to Judah. But the verses that I'm interested in, and it especially begins in verse 14. Wherefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. And that shows now he's talking about Judah, because Jerusalem was in Judah, and therefore the leaders that were there. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. The situation was that Judah had forgotten about their commitment to God, and around about them were nations that were threatening. And instead of their relying upon God and believing in God and being faithful to the covenant that God had made with them, they had entered into covenant with nations round about them, relying upon Egypt, trying to array one country against another. And that's what that has reference to. They had entered into lying covenants with nations where they were looking for their security. They felt that they could not defend themselves against the nations round about them. And so they had the idea that in order to be able to protect ourselves, we're going to have to make a league or covenant with Egypt and let Egypt be on our side. And we get Egypt on our side, then we'll be stronger than the other nations round about us. Then it's in the next verse that we have an unusual statement. Look at it. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That last phrase is a striking phrase. He that believeth shall not make haste. When you're reading the Bible and come across unusual statements, does it attract your attention? Everything in the Bible has an appeal to me. But when I come across a statement like that or other similar statements that's unusual, I want to stop and think about it. What does that statement mean? He that believeth shall not make haste. That passage is quoted in the New Testament, and it's translated, the word haste is translated with two other words. It's sometimes translated, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. Sometimes we get the idea that we are ashamed of our faith. We are ashamed to say that I believe God and I believe the Bible. And that was the situation that Judah was in. They were ashamed of their faith, and thereby their faith had become weakened. So it says, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. But another time that is quoted, it says, he that believeth shall not be confounded or confused. And so you have the same idea in one passage. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. He that believeth shall not be confused. And the truth of the matter is, whenever we fail to believe, this is always what happens. All three of those things result in our failure to believe God. Whenever we try to make haste, we find difficulty. As a result of our unbelief, we get in a hurry. We can't wait. We try to take things into our own hands. And whenever that happens, then as a result of our unbelief, it brings about shame. And then as a result of our unbelief, it brings about confusion. And that's the very thing that happened to these people. It's difficult for us to realize that security comes in believing what God says and relying upon that in spite of all the difficulties that surround us. In this same book, just move over two chapters, there are two verses that I'd like you to notice. It's in keeping with the sentiment that's already been expressed. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved. Now look at this statement. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. God said that they would find rest, peace, in quietness and in confidence. And they said, that's where your strength is. Why? Because that's what faith produces. Faith gives us security and strength and quietness and rest in the realization that things are in God's hands and God is always right. He never makes a promise and commitment but what He's able to fulfill there. Then look again at verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted that He may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. Now that's the reason that chapter 28 said, He that believeth shall not make haste, because he waits to leave things in God's hands and to let God solve the problem. We have the statement that we make, and which I think is a statement that's in harmony with what this passage says. Haste makes waste. How many times in life have I found out that when I get behind and I decide, now I've got to really hurry to catch up, that the more I try to hurry to catch up, usually the further behind I get and the more mistakes I make. That's what that passage says. That happens in the way that we live. We fail to believe what God says, and in failing to believe what God said, we decide we'll take things in our own hand and we're going to get in a hurry. We don't like to wait. We like to see things happen now. And that's not always God's way. Think about how long it was from the Garden of Eden until the cross and Pentecost. God waited that long to bring about man's redemption. Suppose that God had called upon me and had given me the information in relationship to redemption. I would have had difficulty in waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I'd want to hurry the thing up. And in so doing, I'd have made a blunder just exactly like that saying. And so Isaiah said, you're making a sad mistake. You think that you have security in Egypt. Instead of turning to God and believing God and living for God and obeying God and leaving it in God's hand and finding your security there, you're trying to take it into your own hands and you're going to live to regret that decision. I remember a lesson that my father taught me, but I had difficulty in learning. When problems would arise, he never did get in a hurry. In fact, growing up as a young man, I can remember once I did something wrong, and my daddy found out about it. And he didn't like for his boys to do things that were wrong. He thought they ought to learn better. And so, he said, I'm going to give you a whipping. Of course, that's past our day and age, even though Solomon said that it works sometimes. But his method was to wait. He didn't do it then. He didn't get in a hurry. He just gave you the promise. Time went by and a week passed and he didn't do what he said. I thought, well, he's forgotten about what he said. Another week went by and I said, I know he's forgotten what he said. Another week went by, and one day he said, I made a promise to you, didn't I? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, I keep my promises. And I never will forget that promise that he made. That promise lasted a long time. But my point is, he did not get in a hurry. Under the pressure of maybe being upset because I had done something I shouldn't have done, and in the manner of punishing me while he is upset, he might have thought he'd overdo it or something. I thought he overdid it when he did it. And if he had overdone it at the first, he really would have. I could remember that. But at any rate, that was his method. And there's something in that we need to remember. That's what this passage says. We're not to do things in haste. Life's most difficult problems. In fact, I think one of the most difficult things in life, one of the most difficult lessons to learn in life, is what he's saying. We have a problem in not realizing that God knows best. And when he gives us instruction, we are to listen to what he has to say. There are a number of examples in the Bible of men that failed just because they didn't practice what Isaiah said. They got in a hurry. You recall that God made a promise to Abraham, and he said that in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12 and 3. Time rolled on, and you come to Genesis 15, and Abraham said, I don't have any seed. Let my servant be my seed. And God said, no, I didn't tell you that. That's not what I said. Time passed on, you go to the 16th chapter, and Sarah was getting in a hurry. She said to Abraham, we don't have any seed. We need to hurry the thing up. And she suggested that Abraham take Hagar, the handmaid. And out of that haste and hurry, a problem was created in the world that's lasted until this day. You ever hear of terrorism? You know where that had its origin? You know what's back of that? It goes all the way back to Genesis 16 in its origin. Because from Ishmael and Edom comes the long struggle down through the Old Testament between the Israelites and the Ishmaelites, and the Edomites, and what's taking place today. And even the president of this country doesn't know what to do. With all the power that we have and with a nuclear bomb, they're still trying to figure out how to solve the problem of terrorism. The only way to do it would be to drop a bomb and blow every one of them off, and then some of them living in this country and other countries, and some of them would still be left. And that wouldn't cure him. What happened? That's exactly what happened. Abraham had not learned the principle that he that believeth shall not make haste. Had he believed that and followed that, Ishmael would never have been born. When Sarah said, "Take Hagar," Abraham would have said, "Oh no, we're in too big a hurry. God has made that promise and that commitment, and we're going to wait and rely upon Him. That's where we're going to find our security." He learned the lesson. You recall in Genesis 22, God said to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son, and offer him as a sacrifice." Abraham went out to the mountain, built an altar, was ready to and put Isaac on the altar. Isaac said, "Where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, "God will provide." The Hebrew letter says that Abraham did that believing that God would raise him from the dead if necessary to fulfill that promise. You see how he had grown from making the mistake of getting in a hurry? Suppose that he had said, when God said, "Offer me as a sacrifice," he said, "I can't do that. That'll end the promise." He's willing now to put all of his faith and his trust in God and say, "I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you've given me your word, and I believe that word, and I'm not going to get in a hurry, and I'm not going to take things in my own hand. I'm going to do it just like you're telling me to do it." You remember the story of Moses. Moses was born at a crucial period in the time of the nation of Israel. They were in bondage to Egypt. There rose a king that knew not Joseph. And so he was going to have all the children killed. And Moses' mother, because of her faith in God, said, "This boy is not going to die. I'll defy the king." And so she made a little ark, carried him down, put him in the river. Pharaoh's daughter came and found him. He said, "I'm not going to let him die. I'm going to take him home and train him to be a leader." She didn't say that, but that's what really took place. That's what you had in mind. But there came the time when Moses saw an Israelite and Egyptian fighting. And Moses killed the Egyptian. And later on, he saw two Israelites involved in a difficulty. They were struggling. And Moses tried to settle it. And one of them said, "Do you expect to treat us like you did the others? Like you did the Egyptians?" Moses had the idea that the time had come for him to strike for the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. But God had not given him those instructions. He hadn't learned to wait. And so he had to run away from home. Took him 40 years of waiting before he was ready, and before God said to him, "I'm ready now, it's my time." And when he said for him to go, Moses said, "I can't do it. I can't handle that." In the first instance, he tried to handle it in his own way, in his own wisdom, and hurrying up God's plan, and it totally failed. But after 40 years of waiting, learning, and when God said, "I'm ready now," he said, Moses said, "But I'm not prepared for it. I'm not able to do it." God said, "Yes, you're able, and I'll help you. I'll give you the strength and the wisdom and the tools or whatever is necessary for you to accomplish the work." Look at the difference that it made. Paul and Silas was in jail in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Think about that. Not anything wrong they had done. They were trying to carry the gospel to people that weren't needed to hear it. But they ended up in jail. What would you do in a situation like that? Get in a hurry and say, "Well, let's call in the politicians and tell them that we really haven't done anything wrong to end up in a situation like this. How are you going to deal with it?" If you read Acts 16, you'll find that they were singing and praying at midnight. They believed in God, and they believed they were doing what was right, And they were not in a hurry under the circumstances, and you can see the difficult time that that would be. Imagine being in jail for doing right. We'd like to get in a hurry, would we not? And say, let's find some way to get out of here. Paul and Silas didn't. They did what God said. Now let me summarize the lesson and close it in this way. Churches need to learn this principle. When churches have difficulty, too many times we try to take things into our own hands. Instead of believing in God, we make haste. And haste makes waste and multiplies problems. Now, that same thing's true in individual living. We need to learn to believe God and find our security in believing what God says and do what God says like God says do it. And there are no problems in life, but what there's always a solution somewhere in the Word of God. He gives directions. He tells us what to do. It's much easier to be active in doing something than it is patiently waiting to find out what God's will is. One of the finest men that I ever had the opportunity of knowing as a Christian. And helped me to understand and appreciate some things perhaps I never would have understood otherwise. And I've seen him when plans were made to accomplish something and the door would be closed. And the average person would have said, well, let's get busy. We can't allow this to happen. But that wasn't his way. Here's what he'd always say. I wonder what God has in mind. And just exactly like that passage said, he'd believe and not make haste. He'd believe and not be ashamed. He'd believe and not be confused. And doors would open. Things would develop. Lessons would be learned and principles would be seen that never would have been understood otherwise. And mistakes were avoided that would have been made in the attempt to try to take it into our own hands and do things like we want to do it. And to the young people that are here tonight, I don't know of any better advice that I could give you than that which Isaiah gave to those people long ago. Here the world stands, and according to the general rules of life, you have a long time to live. And one of the lessons that you can learn to be of profit to you is to believe God and don't get in a hurry. He that believeth shall not make haste. And if you'll let that principle guide your life, then you won't have to be ashamed down the road of getting in a hurry and saying that I made a blunder. The nation of Israel came to the place where, because they did not believe, that they were ashamed. Down the road was Babylonian captivity, living among a heathen people. The very city destroyed and the temple burned. All because they wouldn't listen to what God said and believe what He said. In a world that's interested in things that we can see, empirical truth, what we can establish in the laboratory, is not easy for us to believe God's Word and trust in the unseen. But that's what we need to do. Tonight there may be one in the audience that's not a Christian. The way to become one is to accept God's revelation by which faith comes, and in believing what God says, to learn there's security and safety, and that's the only place and way to find it. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Jesus said, he that confessed me upon the earth, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Do you believe that? There's security and safety in that. Don't follow the way of the world and the wisdom of the world and get in a hurry and say, I don't want it that way. Submit in simple humility to that truth tonight.